Let us bow our heads, open our hearts, and pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we come to you today as humble as we know how. We ask for your blessings, and we wholeheartedly ask for your mercies each and every day of our lives. All of this we ask in the most precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Excuses, excuses, excuses. Everyone has used at least one of them at some point in their lives. I know that I do. See, I have this mysterious ability to make a million plans on what I want to do and what I have to do. See, even right now, I have a ton of things on my wish list. That's what I call it. Of what I want and what I need to do. But when push comes to shove, I can't follow through with them no matter what. I wanted to really throw myself in learning to play my bass guitar over the last couple of months. I walk through my hallway and I see it standing there. It sees me standing there. It's sitting next to my golf clubs. Both of us are looking at each other. And we duck our heads and walk by. I've been trying to learn or relearn to play Fortnite so I can play with my children again. And on top of all of that, I've been trying to lose this Santa Claus belly that just doesn't want to go away. And so on and so on. But I have the same excuse all of the time. And that's, I just don't have the time. See, what are the most common excuses that you've heard or said yourself? See, I thought long and hard about this. And I came up with what I believe to be some of the most common excuses that I've made and what some of y'all might have heard or made yourself. You know, let me know if they sound familiar. The excuses are, I forgot. I was busy. I intended to do it, but something else came up. I was waiting for the right time to start. I didn't mean to do that. I didn't know how to do it, and in this present Gen Alpha state, I couldn't find anything on YouTube to show me how to do it. It's not my job to do that. You didn't tell me that you wanted me to do such and such. I tried, and it didn't work when I tried it the last time, so I don't think it'll work again. They didn't do their part, so I couldn't do mine. Now tell me if some of those sound familiar to you or not. I know I've said a few of them. See, excuses are a problem that we run into each and every day over the course of our lives. We try to validate each and every reason why we can't get something done instead of getting it done. No matter how good we're at it or however long it takes. Maybe people think that when they give an excuse, it releases them from taking responsibility and being accountable for the choices that they make. See, we need to get beyond all of those excuses. We have to do better. God works with each and every one of us right here where we are. And he takes us to right where he wants us to be. We have to keep that in mind. See, this brings me to the gospel lesson of the day. Today's gospel lesson was the parable of the great banquet. It's also noticed as the parable of the great feast. And it's told to us in the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 14, verses 16 through 24. Jesus tells us of a certain man who planned a large banquet and he sent out invitations. And the people accepted the invitations. They said things, most likely, we'll be there. And when the banquet was ready, he sent a servant out to go tell them it's ready. Come on, let's start. And then one after another, I'm assuming that even though we got examples of three people, there were a whole lot more. And the servant just kept getting excuses after excuses why they couldn't come. One said that he just bought a piece of land and he was going to see it. Another one said that he purchased ox and he had to go see them. And another one said that he just got married. Now, when the master of the house heard these excuses, he got mad. The lesson says angry, but I think he was above angry. Because I know I would be. Food is not cheap. So imagine the expense he went to in order to provide this for them. He told his servant to forget about that guest list and to go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. When the servant had brought them in, he told them, there's still room. So the master sent his servant out again saying, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. Jesus ends the parable by letting us know the master's final words to the ungrateful guest by saying that none of these men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. As we all know, Jesus spoke in parables. And parables are stories that are meant to teach you a lesson. In this lesson, the master of the house is God. And the great banquet is the kingdom of heaven, which was opened to us through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And last but not least, the invited guests were the Jewish people and the Jewish nation. You see, it was a popular belief, at least at that time, that only the Jews were a part of God's kingdom. But the parable tells us that that was not the way it worked out. Expectations and entitlement really ruin things for everyone. Yes, the kingdom was prepared for them. But when Jesus came preaching that the kingdom of heaven is near, in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, they rejected him. John chapter 1, verse 11 tells us he came to that which was his own, meaning he went to the Jews because Jesus was a devout Jew. But his own did not receive him. With that in mind, the kingdom was now open to everyone. The excuses for skipping the banquet were anything but realistic, and they definitely weren't acceptable. I mean, far as I know, no one buys anything without seeing it first, right or wrong. If that's the case, I have a bridge. I have the paperwork, trust me. I have a bridge in Brooklyn that anybody wants to give me the money for, I will sell it to them. I'm just letting you know, because I care. And what about the man that was just married? What newlywed couple wouldn't want to go to a party and show each other off? All of the excuses in the parable show us one thing, and that's how ungrateful some people are to the blessings that God has given to them over the course of their lives. No one had any reason for rejecting Jesus' message. In fact, they didn't have a reason not to accept him as the Messiah, but they did it anyway. The invitation was then opened up to all the maimed and the downtrodden. And that showed how important that invitation was. Acts chapter 10 tells us that the kingdom of God is available even to those that the holier than thou, the hoity-toity, consider not to be worthy of getting it. The lesson tells us that God isn't satisfied with a partially filled banquet hall. He wants each and every place at that table to be filled. Those who ignored that invitation to the banquet, they chose their own fate. The master supported their decision, and he made it permanent by saying that none of them would ever taste of my supper. When people think they're safe and they're secure, when they think that they guaranteed a spot as Christians in heaven, I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. I got my spot. No, it doesn't work like that. Because people get comfortable. And they make excuses for not doing the work that God requires of each and every one of us. They make excuses for not helping those that are in need, for not extending a hand to lift our brother and sister up when they're down. They make excuses about not helping others, such as, I have to look out for my family first. Or, I'm busy with work. Or, I'm just too tired. I want each and every one of y'all to know that every single member of the human race is a part of our family, because we're all God's children. Amen? The homeless man in the street is a part of our family. So is the addict in the alleyway. God loves the people we don't like, or that we don't even give a second thought to. The people that we don't have the time of day for. I want you to know that God loves them. And more importantly, Jesus died for each and every one of us and them. We allow our possessions, the material things in this world, to get in the way of us being possessed by the Holy Spirit, who will grant us the compassion we need in order to go help our brothers and sisters in this world. I'm going to say it again. How they say it? For the people in the back. Not the actual people, just for the people that aren't paying attention. Please don't take offense. We allow our possessions to get in the way of us being possessed by the Holy Spirit. There is no greater possession, no greater joy than to be possessed and infilled by the Holy Spirit. We allow excuses to get in the way of us doing the real work that we were called to do. And that's just plain wrong on so many levels. If anybody has expectations, it's God. My beloved brothers and sisters, God's kingdom is more than just in heaven. God's kingdom exists right here and right now. I want you all to know one simple fact, is that God's banquet table will be filled. The only question is whether or not you'll be the one to fill it. Amen? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.